to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live here from the Right Side Studios. Yes, indeed, we are solid conservative, and like the dude said, just plain right, covering local, state, national issues. Man, we got all of it. Broadcasting from Clanton to the Tennessee line, from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden, blanketing the northern half of our state. So, all right, listen, wouldn't you like to pay less taxes? I got a bunch of your attentions right there. All right. Wouldn't you love to wake up one morning and go, I am not paying as much to the government today? Not because you self-elected to do that. I'm talking about because literally taxes were either lowered or just basically they did away with them. Oh, Phil, what are you talking about? Were you chasing unicorns? What's happening here? No, literally, I'm saying, wouldn't that be amazing? It's happening in a lot of places. It's not really happening in Alabama. Not really. There have been some things that have been talked about. There have been some things that have been bandied about. There have been a couple of small things that have been done, like the business privilege tax. You know, it's going to save some people like $112 a year. But in terms of real savings, the kind that you and I experience on a daily basis, the kind that even if you had to say it this way, the poorest among us can actually benefit from, that's not happening. And yet right now we are in a record surplus. When government is in surplus, that means it took more than it needed from the citizens. Let's put it that way. When government is in surplus, I'll say it again. When government is in surplus, that means it took more than it needed from the citizens to begin with. There's two ways to look at Alabama's budgeting processes, all right? So Alabama has a very unique budgeting process. Let's put it that way. Alabama's unique budgeting process, we have two budgets. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, when I went to Montgomery as a state senator, I came in not even knowing, even though I had run for the office, I didn't know all the ins and outs of Alabama's budget. It's a weird situation. I think we're one of only three states in the nation that has split budgets. Everything in the world education's in one budget. We call it the ETF, the Education Trust Fund. So everything from K-12, higher ed, a lot of the ancillary things that relate to education, those are all in the ETF, the education budget. And they, by the way, get all of the growth revenues. The teachers union years ago, when they had more influence, although they're gaining influence again now, the teachers union really helped to construct for themselves the opportunity for constant windfalls, because if the budgets were going, I mean, if the economy was going well, what we call the growth taxes, things like income tax and sales tax, things that go up in a good economy, those all feed education only. The other side of budgeting in Alabama is called the general fund. It's everything else except education stuff. So everything else in the world it takes to run a state, whether it be state troopers or the court system or roads and bridges or, you know, mental health or, you know, just paying the salaries of state employees, all that stuff is in the general fund, and it is also constantly, woefully underfunded. Why? Because all of the flat taxes, all the ones that don't go up regardless of the economy, things like property tax and stuff like that, things that typically stay flat, those all go to the general fund. All right, there's your quick lesson on Alabama's archaic budgeting systems. One of the best things that could ever possibly happen would be a combination of the two into having a single budget so that lawmakers could then truly appropriate funds where they're needed. Because right now, if you're flush in the education budget, which happens a lot, if you're flush in the education budget and you've got surplus funds, you're not allowed by law to transfer those funds over to the general fund where you might be underfunded. You may not have enough money for the court system and state troopers. You may not have enough money for roads and bridges, plus, oh, by the way, something to do with the Department of Commerce for Economic Development. You may not, but you can't grab it out of the surplus over here. Would you run your house that way? Who does that? Let's say you and your wife are both working, right? Y'all have two income streams coming to the house. And maybe it works out to where paychecks come in at different times. And so maybe the husband's paycheck goes to pay the mortgage and the wife's paycheck goes to pay household expenses and let's say life insurance and medical insurance. It just kind of works out that way. But let's say that one's short. I'm sorry, you can't have part of my paycheck to pay that bill. But we all use it. No, I'm sorry, you can't do that. What do you mean? The husband's paycheck was short. We got our hours cut at work. We can't pay the mortgage. Well, I'm sorry. Mine's dedicated to this over here. You can't have it. We don't run our households that way. We wouldn't do it. No. Well, we do in Alabama government. Okay. That being said, this has been some more kind of a year when it comes to revenues. We are in a massive surplus for really, truly, in this at this level, the first time in anybody's recorded memory. No, nobody remembers a time when Alabama's budgeting process has had so much in the way of extra funds that there's even talk of a special session to know how to allocate them. A big part of that is because the economy in Alabama has done fairly well. A big part of that also is because people got paid so much in terms of COVID relief dollars that they went out and bought more stuff, and it drove, you know, money into the system. A big part of that, too, is because Alabama's budgeting processes allowed for, we did certain things that put reserve accounts in place and kept things more solvent. We've balanced the budgets. But then it also has a huge tranche of dollars that came into the state by means of federal COVID relief to the state itself. Not just individuals being paid to stay out of work, the $600 a month unemployment, or individuals getting their Biden bucks checks in the mail. Just money showing up. Not that we're talking about billions of dollars coming to the state for use however they see fit to a degree. Well, okay, here's my point. We're talking about number two on the triple dipper, tax relief. Don't hold your breath. That's what I'm calling it. And I want to remind you, so here I just laid out all the stuff about budget processes And the interesting thing is, there has been a court fight that was decided in Alabama that allows for state legislatures to give back to the people using COVID relief monies if they so choose to do so. I just saw in an article, which I'll get to in a minute, where senior legislators, people that I worked with when I was down there, are saying, well, we don't know if we're really allowed to do that. You're allowed to do it. Wake up! On November 15th, 2021, an Alabama federal district court granted a final judgment in favor of 13 plaintiff states, one of which was Alabama, enjoining the U.S. permanently enjoining the U.S. Department of Treasury from enforcing the controversial spending restrictions on funds under the American Rescue Plan Act, known as ARPA. In granting the permanent injunction, the court reasoned that the restriction lacks the clarity required for Congress to exercise its power under the spending clause because states would then be unable to make an informed choice about receiving ARPA funds. What basically happened was this. When Congress passed ARPA, which is one of those big, huge spending bills that gave billions of dollars to the states, allegedly for COVID relief, they put a provision in there and said, oh, by the way, those states, you can't like give tax relief to your citizens and then, you know, use these monies to make it up. You can't do that. Well, why the frick not? You gave us the money, and then you told us how we can use it and how we can't. You said if it was related to COVID, how about if our economy is hurting? How about if people need something because of Bidenflation? How about if gas prices are soaring, making it hard for companies to, you know, get their goods to market? How about if we want to give our people some relief? And so a bunch of states got together, including Alabama, and filed suit on this very issue. Our Attorney General, Steve Marshall, led the charge on this and proved in court that it was a violation of the spending clause of the U.S. Constitution for Congress to say the states can't give tax relief using ARPA funds. And so now they can, and multiple states have, and Alabama has not. And Alabama leaders are still going, well, I don't know if we can even do that or not. Can we do that? I don't know if we can do that. Read the news. It's not hard. I mean, I'm looking at a piece that was written by a law firm that I just read to you from that was dated in January of this year. The ruling came out in November of last year. Legislators, if you want to give a relief in the form of taxes, like lifting a tax burden, whether it be permanently or full-time, you are allowed to make up some of the income with the billions of dollars still remaining in ARPA. you can. The question is, do you want to? And that's what it boils down to. Do y'all want to give tax relief? And I know a bunch of you guys do. I know a bunch of the men and women in our state legislature would love to pass something like that, but it's going to take the leadership to get on board. It's going to take the governor to ask for it. It's going to take the effort to bring it to the floor in a cohesive and coherent manner, debate the issue, because Democrats won't want to do it, but Republicans, you have the supermajority. We can do this. And I guess my question now is, why would you not? If you've been given money from the federal government, maybe you've got things you'd love to spend it on, but so far, fellas, all we spend it on is government. If you look at it, there have been a list of pet projects that got a supplemental appropriation out of the budgeting committees in the latter parts of the session. Like, they had so much money, they had to have a supplemental appropriation meeting. And what do they spend it on? Pet projects that largely funded more government. It is time for us to consider, in a big way, doing something meaningful that the average Joe and Jane on the street can go, oh man, that was cool, thank you. I don't know, like, how about 4 cents on the dollar for the grocery tax? We're one of the only states in the nation that taxes groceries. Don't go find a way to replace it, you know, with other means like raising taxes over here. Just do away with it. Do away with it for 6 months. Do something to get people through. The poorest people among us have to buy milk and bread. You can relieve some of that. Every time they buy $10, you save them 40 cents. Cool. It doesn't sound like much, but it adds up. When the average bill is over $100, a $100 grocery bill, you just saved them $4. At least you're doing something. You can do that. You can lower the gas tax at the pump. 10 cents on the dollar right now is that brand new gas tax y'all passed. You could choose to do away with that for a while and replace it with ARPA funds and give people a break at the pump that would take 10 more cents off their price at the pump per gallon. Per gallon! But it's a choice. And you have the means to do it. All right, Boomer, I am on such a rant, brother. I'm looking at the clock going, oh yeah, we got commercials. Let's go ahead and take a break right now, my brother. We'll do that. We'll come right back from this and keep going. And then at 3:30, by the way, my friend Justin Bogey, fiscal analyst from the Alabama Policy Institute, is going to call in, give us some broad perspective. Does he see the kind of will that I'm talking about in Montgomery to move towards tax relief? Great question. I'll tell you what other states are doing, too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative, just plain right. So I'm in this piece of the triple dipper I'm calling Tax Relief, Don't Hold Your Breath. Story off of AL.com, great story that was contributed to heavily by my friends at the Alabama Policy Institute. Justin Bogey, who's going to be on the show in a minute, is quoted multiple times in this article. Story came out yesterday, July 25th. The title of it is, Amid Record Inflation, is Alabama lagging behind other states in offering tax relief? I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler alert. The answer is yes. So it starts off by saying Mississippi lawmakers just voted in the largest. I forgot to rattle my paper, Boomer. Mississippi lawmakers voted in the largest tax cut in state history early this year when they authorized a gradual reduction in their income tax rate. In Florida, motorists will not have to pay the state's 25.3 cent per gallon tax on gasoline for the month of October. In Georgia, 29.1 cents per gallon fuel tax was authorized in a suspension was authorized in March and has since been extended to August. So that's like a, what, is that 6 months, 5 months? In Tennessee, residents will get a 1 month break from paying any sales tax on groceries. In Kansas and Virginia, sales tax on groceries will soon be history altogether. Faced with inflation rates, it says, unseen since 1981, but yet flush with money from federal programs related to COVID-19, states are slashing taxes and offering rebates. But for the most part, Alabama has not approved a significant tax cut. None of the big-ticket taxes have been touched. Nothing is likely to happen until at least March, another 8 months away. when the legislature convenes for its annual legislative session. The lack of movement by a Republican supermajority legislature has groups like the Alabama Policy Institute calling for a state special session to consider a tax relief package. Justin, also, by the way, Justin Bogey, who is the fiscal analyst at API, the Policy Institute, he said Alabama's government has had more money flowing into it than ever in the past 2 years. And he goes on to talk about the fact that federal stimulus money, it basically represents current and future taxes against citizens. It's state revenues. Surplus monies mean we took more than we needed. Surplus monies coming to us again from D.C., well, where do you think they got those from? Us. He added, when it comes to taking less taxes, though, in the future, Alabama is lagging behind our neighbors in that regard. Great article. I mean, it went way in depth, and it quotes a number of people that I know and appreciate, although I have to question some of the things that they're saying. Danny Garrett, who is a great guy, he's the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He said that they are looking at the current economic situation, and they're saying if we wait till the legislative session to get ready for this kind of thing, we're too late. And Danny's right. But he said they're studying the idea of Alabama's tax structure being amended. Okay, but listen, there are things that have to be studied, and there are things that can be answered in one afternoon. Ask the Legislative Fiscal Office for a fiscal note on what will happen if we do away with the grocery tax. There you go. Bam. Done. I can tell you right now. A few years back when I first looked at it, it was $365 million a year to the Education Trust Fund. Estimates are right now it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $425 to $440 million a year. That's my last recollection. Okay, what does that mean? Well, that's the grocery tax. When you consider that the other story I've got here from, actually, this one's from 1819 News, my friends at 1819, quoting, by the way, another friend from the Alabama Policy Institute. I love that all my friends are wrapped into these stories. But literally saying that the doing away with a grocery tax, the opponents to doing that say, well, the Education Trust Fund needs grocery tax revenue. We won't be able to fund education. Well, all right, you say that. But yet our Education Trust Fund budget increased by $589 million this past year to an $8.3 billion record budget. The impact of eliminating the grocery tax, some say it could go as high as $600 million. There's a new number for me. The legislature, therefore, could have cut the grocery tax in half or eliminated it altogether and still arrived at the largest education budget in history. Great point by Parker Snyder from API. So here's my deal. I'm saying, men and women of the legislature, you want to be a hero to your constituencies? Yes, balance the budget. Yes, do things like you've been doing in other regards. But fiscally right now, people are hurting. People are hurting out there. And the idea that y'all are not even considering tax relief, I don't get it. It's low-hanging fruit, man. And you're freaking Republicans. Let's get it done. All right, we're going to talk about it with Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute when I get back from this break. Y'all stay tuned. Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.